In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Try to not to make it long, so that you are a little bit late. When Virgin Mary met Elizabeth, her magnificent and her praise in Luke 1:46, it says, we'll take just the first verse, 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. تعظم نفس الرب. What does it mean, my soul magnifies the Lord? Magnifies could mean glorify. It could mean praise. It could mean give thanks. It could mean admit, or يعني العرفان بالجميل, يعني واحد admitting or saying thank you, and he feels that you did something great for him. It means exalt him, and it is the same word you will say all the psalms, starting with the word praise God. This word of praise, magnify, glorify, give thanks for something good he did for us. Exalt, elevate, all of these words is a word of praise, a word of giving thanks to God. It's a word that we can use in our prayers. But when Virgin Mary said, she knew that she is the mother of God, and she knew that Christ is inside her, she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. It's a feeling. When she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, she's describing a feeling she feels about herself, and a feeling she feels about God, and she feels that she is praising God and thanking God, a feeling inside her of unworthiness. So the idea of magnifying God or praising God, it will not be able to come from someone who is not grateful, or who doesn't know how to thank, or he doesn't know how to praise God. The first question will come to my mind: why do I praise God? I praise God because the nature of God, when we say God is great, or when you hear it in the first line of the reconciliation prayer in the liturgy, oh God, the great, the eternal, Ya Allah al-Azim al-Abadi. God, the greatness of God, we magnify God because God is magnificent, or God is great. This greatness is because if we think about the strength of God, you can see the strength of God. If you want to imagine what is the strength of God, it's enough for you to see just the effect of atomic bomb, or to see hydrogen when they release the power, which makes, if you know any biology, you know that there is a nucleus and there is electrons in orbits around the nucleus. The release of the power of the smallest atom between the power which attracts one nucleus or one electron to the nucleus, negative and positive powers, this power, if they break it, it makes the atomic bomb you hear about. So this is just a very small example of amount of power, amount of strength that God is. And this is, I'm telling you, the hydrogen ion, which is part of drop of water, you'll see, which is H2O, two hydrogen ions and one oxygen unite together. So this just gives us an idea about the strength of God. Another way of looking at the strength of God is the heat of the sun and the light of the sun, which is very far from us. Every day, thousands and even millions of radioactive material losing some electrons moving from the orbits, and this is what we see in the sun, how much heat there is in the sun and how much helium is changing in the sun, and from radioactive material it loses some of its activity by giving us some heat and some warm and some light. So this is the greatness of God. He is powerful. This greatness, when we look at it in God, and when we look to our Virgin Mary, when she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord," she feels whom she is talking to. She feels that, who am I, or who I am, to stand in front of God, and to feel when I talk to God, that this is something natural. He allowed us even not to just to feel slaves, but even to call Him our Father. This is what a magnificent God we are worshipping. So we have to magnify the Lord and to admit His greatness, and we have to thank Him for what He did, what He is doing, and what He will do. For what He did in His creation, before He formed us as men, He prepared everything for us. He prepared for us the sky, the earth, stars, sun, moon, plants, animals, and then as a crown of His creation, He put man. So we have to thank Him and to magnify the Lord and to feel that we are so little in front of God when we look how He created man after doing everything for His sake. Not only we should magnify God because what He did in His creation, but the most important, that when He created us, He created us for eternity, for living forever. And this is why when the economy of salvation, when we destroyed the image, He created us on His image, on His likeness. And Thomas has a good saying, always say, that when God said on His image, we can all understand it, that we are created with some resemblance to God. But when He said on His likeness, He said this is depends on how you make yourself by your will to be like the image, which means that one thing is granted and the other we should work to make it like what we were granted. So God granted us in the very, very minute of our creation to be exactly like Him. God created us in purity, in the ability of to be like His Son Jesus Christ, which He will come after many thousands of years. Later on, He created us, as Saint Athanasius said, on the image of His only begotten Son, as if the Father is putting the Son and He is portraying in us the picture of His Son. This is what God did in the creation. So when He created us, we were in a perfect way and perfect shape, and we had the ability by our will to be like Him. But what happened to the likeness? The likeness was lost. Once the envy of the devil entered into the world, sin entered, and after sin, corruption entered in our creature, our creation, and our body, and then death entered, and diseases, and corruption, and so on. So the first thing, which was the creation itself, was spoiled. So the second, which is more important, is the recreation, when our Lord Jesus Christ took from Virgin Mary His humanity. He took His humanity from her. This is what Saint Athanasius said, the economy of salvation, which He got from Virgin Mary. He got the flesh from her, and He got His body from her. This is why we look at Virgin Mary, that nobody on earth like her. Before the incarnation or after the incarnation, God chose the time of His incarnation because He found in Virgin Mary what He is looking for, to be the person to carry, or to be able to have inside her, with her purity and her humility, the Son of God inside her. And this is why we magnify her. Again, it is not only the incarnation, that God entered into our world and took our flesh, but all the economy of salvation, starting by His incarnation and His salvation and His resurrection and His ascension with our body, all of these the acts of salvation. So this is a reason for me to glorify God and magnify Him for what He did in the past when He created me, and He recreated me when I destroyed the image. We thank Him and we glorify Him not only for the past but for the present, because God now is among us in every day. He is very close to us. He sent His Holy Spirit inside us to dwell in us. He gave us the ability through the church to be a place of His dwelling. When we come and we meet God in the church, He is there. This is His house, as He fills every place. But He likes to have a house among our houses, and He has to have a place among our places to dwell in and to be the house of God. He gave us through this house the place of being born again in baptism, and having been the sons and daughters of Christ when we are born in baptism. Not only born as sons of God, but have Him in confirmation, having the Holy Spirit inside us, and the sacrament of sacraments, which is Eucharist, that we unite in Him and He unites with us. This is the second thing that God did for us, that He is with us on the altar, in His Word, in the Bible. In any time you want to pray, you are talking with God, and God is talking to you. For what is going to happen, or for what God is going to do for us, He did inside us a miracle. This miracle, we call it one of the five beliefs of the church, which is the resurrection of the bodies. From the very early beginning, the creed has to include a statement that we look for the resurrection of the dead. The soul doesn't die. So resurrection of what? Resurrection of the body. The miracle of Christianity, that each one of us, when the time comes, whether I am in a tomb, or whether I was in a tomb, or I was eaten by a fish in the sea, or whether I died in fire, or whether God will gather this body and will put for us a spiritual body, which is a glorified body. A glorified body. This glorified body is, we thank God for this resurrection, because the corruption cannot inherit the incorruption. This is as St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that this body, which is from the dust, has to die, and the second body we have to get is the one which lives with us forever. We thank God for the future, for the resurrection of the bodies. We thank Him for the kingdom and the eternal life He's preparing for us. So this is why we magnify God. Last point is, how do we magnify God? We said that we magnify God because of what He did, what He is doing, and what He is going to do, or what He will do. So how to magnify God? Number one, we have to learn from Virgin Mary, the humility. Virgin Mary is the feeling inside her. We will read just a few verses telling us that she felt that she is poor, because she said that He sent the rich empty. So she felt that she is poor. She felt that she is weak. She felt that she is on the ground when she said that He exalted. We'll read it just a second, but just, she felt that she is poor. She felt that she is weak. She felt that she is hungry, because she said that He sent the rich empty. She felt that she is empty. She felt that she is on the ground. And this is what we are going to see in her praise. This is what she said. For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. So she felt that she is maidservant of God. Verse 48. She felt that she is low in state. She is very beyond and below any level we could imagine. We'll jump to 49. For He who is mighty has done great things to me. So she feels that He is mighty and she is weak. And holy is His name. She feels that He is holy and she is not holy. And His mercy on those who fear Him. She had the fear of God inside her from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. She feels that she is weak. All of these are just signs of humility. In this praise, you'll find it many times what she's saying. He, about God, has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. So she feels that she is lowly, or she is poor in spirit, as the Bible said. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. So all of that is telling us, if you want to be able to glorify God, if you want to be able to feel that everything you have good inside you, it is not from you, it is from God. If you want to let people feel that what is good in you is not from you, it is from God, you have to have humility, as Virgin Mary, she's describing how that without humility you can get nothing from God. Saint Paul is our second example. He said, the more you feel that you're weak, the more you feel that God is working in you. When he said that, he, not me, but he, when he's talking about the grace of God, that everything was by the grace of God. The more you feel that you are empty, he will feel what is you or your emptiness. Also Saint John the Baptist, he said he about Christ, when he get, just imagine with me that John is now know that the one who is going to be baptized from him is the Son of God. I think that if any of us is in the place of John, I don't think that any of us will allow Christ to be baptized from us. But the humility even of John to accept to baptize the Lord himself is a sign of humility. And when they asked him about Christ, he said that he must increase and I decrease. No one can say this word unless he is really know what is humility. If we claim that we are humble, the test will be, if someone insults you, how do you feel? Do you willing to be insulted? If not, I think that we are not humble. So this is what John said, he must increase and I decrease. So humility is fight between what God wants and what my ego wants. Humility actually is, I want for myself. Virgin Mary didn't ask anything for herself. All what she wants to do is, I am the maid servant of God. Whatever he wants me to do, I will do. Total obedience. If you want to know and to check your humility, just check your obedience to the word of God. Do you give yourself excuses that you are not obeying the word of God? Do you give yourself, this verse is not for me. Maybe the word of God was written 2000 years ago. It's not for me to do it. It is not practical nowadays. If you feel that, we are not obedient. The word of God must be taken very serious. Whatever God is telling me, I have to do it. So humility is actually a test between who is first in my life. Is it my ego or God? And many of us, of course, we are trying. And the more you feel that the grace of God is working in you, the more you'll be humble. So number one is how to magnify God is humility. Two is priority. Three is unity. Just as rhyming, so can we remember them. Humility, priority, and unity. Priority actually is fight between not the ego, but between the needs and God. Another kind of war, another kind of fight. For example, that we are talking about priority now. Priority, time, is my time. I need my time for myself. I need to have it for my family. I need the time for mom or dad. They are asking me to do something, our young youth. And no, it is my time. This is my break. I have 1 or 2 months. It is my break. I have to do what I want to do. Time, priority of time. Do you give God the priority? And who is your second on your priority list? And who is on the third? We have to give God the priority. Again, I will ask you, how many, if at least God is asking for the tithe, We are supposed to give God 2 hours and something every day. How many of us are giving God every day these 2 hours at least? Time, priority. If you feel that God is important in your life, you have to magnify Him by showing that you have Him as a priority. He is not number 10 in your list. If you wake up early in the morning and you feel that it is a burden for you to talk to God, God is not a priority. I have a lot of other priorities. Feelings. What about the priority of feelings? Do you feel that the eagerness, the zeal to talk to God, the eagerness, or yani, Saint David the prophet in Psalm 62, he said, my soul thirsts to you. He wants to wake up very early in the morning because he is looking, yani, on the night time, he is saying, when I'm going to wake up, because I want to meet with God. So see how much he is thirsty, like when you're very thirsty in the summer time, like what we are now, and you are dreaming of seeing a cold bottle of water or soda or something. This is how eager you are, and how, ask yourself, do I have this eagerness or this, I'm looking forward to see God, to enjoy feeling, to enjoy the time I'm spending with God. And this is the second, which are emotions and feelings. Thinking. Is God always in my thoughts? If I have a problem, what is the first thing comes to my mind? Is it always my way, my mind? What is my mind telling me? Or I will hold it, I feel that something really big, let us pray first. What is the opinion of God first? And then I will think about it. We have to magnify God and make Him as a priority in our time, in our emotions and feelings, and in our thoughts and mind. Very nice verse, and Paul said in Philippians 1:20, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Which is, I will magnify God, I will glorify God, I will make God manifest, I will make God obvious to others. I will glorify Christ always, as always. So now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Philippians 1:20. So, if I'm humble, I learned how to be humble. If I have my priority list well done, time, emotions, and thoughts are very well done. Third is unity. Unity with God. If you want to be able to know how to magnify God, you have to be always united with God. You cannot say that 1 minute I will be with God and the other minute I'll do whatever I want. I cannot say that I can do things which is fulfilling my desires. I cannot say I will fulfill my lust for any time of the day, and the rest I can pray, I can go to the church, I can do whatever I want. We can't. Unity with God means 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. I am with God all the time, all the time. I am united with Him all the time. I cannot say that I can be with God and I commit sin. It doesn't fit. God and sin cannot stay in the same heart. Cannot. So always, always, if you want to really to be able to magnify God, always the unity of God is inseparable. As we describe, just think about it, about the unity in Christ between the humanity and the divinity. It is symbol also to us that we as human beings, our unity with God should not be separable. And if it is not separable, I will never do sin. Because if I all the time realize and have faith that Christ is with me all the time, I will not commit sin. So, may we all magnify God, as Virgin Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. May our souls all together, we all magnify God in our bodies, in our thoughts, in our spirits, that He could be glorified in His church, now and always and forever, unto the ages of all ages. And glory be to God forever and amen.